The Daily Talk Show. I'm Josh Jansen.
I'm Tommy Jacket.
And it is episode 79.
Yeah, after having your bro on yesterday.
Yep.
You know what? I think we should get one of my brothers on too.
I'd love that.
It's nice to delve into. Like, I could have spent the whole podcast just asking questions about you.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this after the podcast. I got a sense you were a bit nervous going into it. Were you nervous? Was there some nerves there?
I think there's...
A bit nerve?
No, not nerves, I don't think. But I think that I'm just... I realise that maybe it's a triggered thing. Maybe I've like spent my life having a certain relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that it's like, I don't want to make him uncomfortable. Like, as a guest, I want to make him feel comfortable. I think it's maybe the dynamic shift because... As I said, I was the antagonist. I was the one that I would just make fun of him and just have a bit of a laugh. And I always thought it was funny, but I don't think he necessarily...
Yeah, dude. I mean, there's family dynamics. I know my elder brother has... And it's, I don't think I'm talking out of school. Just some shit that went on in his childhood that I didn't get that treatment.
Uh-huh.
And it's nothing. It's just like learning as a mum and dad.
Yeah.
Shit changes. So the way your brother got parented to the way you, you know, because you're a different kid, a youth learner.
Yeah.
And it's super interesting and it's fascinating. But I was interested. It's interesting, you know, trajectory of his life from living in the birds to living in the States.
Yeah.
And if you didn't hear it, listen to it yesterday.
Yeah. So if you didn't listen, James is a assistant coach for a women's college team, which is really interesting. But I think the other thing that's fascinating about, say, that type of conversation is how relationships change over time and how you need to transition relationships between one dynamic and another.
Mm.
So being young people, being kids in a where you're living with each other and you might be fighting for attention or whatever it is, to being adults and living in the world where it's like hanging out isn't guaranteed. Like you don't have, people don't have to see their brothers.
That's evolution of a relationship. And so yesterday I was talking to one of my clients and my friends, Lisa, who, you know, she's a high flyer, fucking amazing consulting business, you know, makes a lot of money. And I only say that just because of the responsibility she has and the big clientele she deals with. We're going to get it on the podcast.
Yeah, great.
But I met her when I was a 19-year-old PT and I trained her a little bit.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so I met her on a camp with Craig Harper.
Yeah.
Who, guys, we got Craig Harper on the show Monday.
Fuck, that's
so
exciting.
So episode 80. But I met her when she was in the time of her life of massive transition 8 years ago or something more. And now I'm working with her and we're at completely different levels. And she said on the phone to me, she's like, you know, I almost, there's been times where I've seen you as that, you know, guy who gave me a little session when you were 19 and you were, you know, fresh faced. And now I'm a completely different person. And so what I take from what you said about your brother sees you as that fucking younger brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're an adult now who has a business and you have, you know, your relationship and all these things going on for you.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to see the little shit or whatever he saw you as.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's, you need to deal with it in a delicate way in the sense of you can't expect, like I remember going to North Carolina and sort of expected, you know, oh, this is a new start, this is a fresh start. And I remember I was on a walk and I tripped over and he had a go at me about tripping over and I was so triggered by it. I was so like, oh fuck, classic James. And I was applying that exact same thing, right?
You met triggered because he was triggered by you with triggered.
And the funny thing is, it's like you see, how many times do you, like you'll see, you know, a family member or whoever it is and their dynamics with other people and you're like, oh man, that's so different to what I, are they not seeing the same thing?
Mm-mm.
And the
person you once were is not the person who you are today.
Yeah. And just like we're not the same, the people around us aren't the same too. So I think that it's about having that empathy. I think that it's definitely it's an interesting journey because it's like you don't, there's a guard that you put up, right? Where it's like, okay, I want it, like, I feel like as a family, we're not necessarily big fucking open talkers. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, we're like this. You know, like us talking about being kids, we did that for the first fucking time as adults just on a podcast.
It's amazing. And that's, I wanted to go real hard.
Yeah.
But I held it back. I thought you were nervous at the start because you're like, you know how much of a fucking loose unit I am.
Don't know what you're going to fucking say.
Yeah, that's what just I thought.
Just fucking ruffle feathers. Ruffle feathers?
Russell, yeah, yeah. Ruffle. Hey, quick one. Yeah. Voicemail I got. Didn't answer the call. Yeah. I was like, fuck this. I don't know this number.
Okay.
Let's have a quick listen.
Go.
Yes, filing, and we regret to inform you that your account has been marked lien for tax avoidation. Paperwork sent to your register address also returned back unsigned and undelivered. For this, a petition needs to get filed, including your warrant for arrest. Now, before the case is sent for execution and to receive legal notification or for more information, contact 026.
Yeah, so they go.
So Stephen Hawking didn't die. He's now doing ATO stuff.
So we've talked about scammers and shit like that. Obviously, that's a scam. But I did think, and what it made me think about was that's like a guy's voice stitched together. So there would have been someone out there that's voiced that.
Yeah.
I don't know how artificial, like it sounds artificial because they've, it's like a soundboard that have taken, it's like almost what Michelle, who we had in the podcast, yeah. Donates her voice and has to say all these different.
Hopefully it's not too.
Imagine ending up on that.
Yeah.
Imagine a guy voicing I saw this fucking poster and it's of a young boy, and on there it's like, it's about, it basically, in essence, the poster says, I made her have sex with me. And it's all about...
How much do you have to be paid?
Totally.
To and be I was like, the sex pest on a billboard.
Imagine if you were, even if you were on a cold sore ad.
Yeah.
And it's like you become that fucking dude. Imagine this guy hearing his own voice going... But these that one, cunts have used
but,
my...
But the thing is, I feel like that's okay. I reckon the thing is, no, he's not fucking approving that. That guy has put his voice into some sort of system,
yeah,
which is just used across everything. But the person who's the sex pest on the billboard,
the kid,
he's probably like he's probably set up for life now. He's probably got like, you know, $100,000 in a bank that's in a fucking high return.
I was trying to think about it, and especially this kid on the poster. Hopefully it's a morphed face. Hopefully they got a guy and then altered his face, changed his nose or his eyes enough. Because who's fucking putting their hand up to be on an ad that he's... Oh, you ended up on it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
What was that? Well,
because I put all of my photos on as... Creative Commons on Flickr, and so that anyone could just grab them. And a few times I've had photos of me put into articles and things like that. Would you feel comfortable having Bodhi's face on different commercials? Where would you draw the line?
I've been thinking about it quite a bit, you know, because I share a lot of content of him now. But like who he was when he was born and who he is now 1 year later, they look like, you know, he just looks, it looks very different.
So why does, say, Casey Neistat doesn't show his daughter's face anymore?
So I heard the reason for it and I almost agree. Yeah, go on.
I'm guessing like if we're showing all of her faces throughout all the years, you could develop some sort of... you've got all of this content to be
like
able...
Like the deep fakes that we talked about.
Yeah, to create...
Nah,
like
it's not
fake.
What he said. And what he did say was she's now at an age, probably it's like 3 or going on 4.
Yeah.
Where you actually start looking like the person you...
You're going to become type of thing.
Yeah. And so that's where when it becomes, you know, she can't... Once that footage is out there, it's like, it's obviously... It's, you know, it's not fucking public property,
sure.
But it becomes pretty much public property.
Yeah, you become part of the public domain or whatever, and you sort of Bodhi, is it like when he becomes, when he's 5 years old? Do you think
maybe a bit younger? I'll go harder for a little while. And we've already had him in a few ads.
Yeah, do you think that you would have him as a child star?
Oh, I don't know. There's not enough money in it anymore.
Really?
It's the even modeling, Tommy Davidson, who we're going to have on the show. We've got a lot of people we're going to have on the show.
It's great.
He's been modeling for 10 years.
Mm.
good-looking rooster. He doesn't get the money he once did.
Yeah.
Because he said it's just not the same anymore. Think about online. I think it's video. Like, think about the jobs you and I have done, and we've got people involved for nothing.
Just like cashies.
Exactly. And so it's driving the price down.
Mm.
So unless you're getting a Versace or a fucking, you know, a big contract.
Well, it's interesting that the reason that, say, you get paid a lot is for exclusivity and stuff like that. Or, for instance, when Brie worked at Suzanne, she was in charge of picking models, right? For big campaigns. You know, people getting tens of thousands, models getting tens of thousands of dollars type of deal. And if you'd been on Country Road or something like that, they didn't want to use you. If you're the face of something else, if you've even, it's not even about being the face. If you were in that last campaign, they don't want, it's a bad look if two competitors have the same fucking model.
Yeah. In Shepparton, when I lived there, I was walking down the main street.
Yeah.
Looked into the fucking, what do you call it, like construction attire shop. You know, those ones with all the high-vis stuff.
Was it Tommy D?
Yeah, of course. On a fucking poster in the window.
It'd look great in a bit of high-vis.
But it's interesting, and we'll talk to him about it. The change in his look as he's got older, he's been getting quite a bit of work.
Yeah.
So it's like, and this is the thing with women model, female models.
Mm.
It's like they're in their prime, and then they can go out of their prime. And I'm saying prime, talking in a fucking, you know, like it's disgusting. But this is how you talk about models. It's like they're literally just looking at you as a what you look like. Oh, you're not good enough. Go.
Uh-huh.
And so men mature into this. Like you look at fucking old mate from Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
I started
that. And I was like, this can't. He's Tom not going to know shit. No, George Clooney. He's become more in demand as he's got older.
Yeah.
And he's all, and so.
Well, George Clooney is the quintessential old dude, isn't he? Yeah. And I think, do you know what? It just, when you're talking about older models, I just think of, there's a fucking amazing meme. Seek it out if you can. It's on, it's memeified, but it's also a video. It's of Oprah and a behind the scenes of her photo shoot. And she's so fucking happy and she's jumping. She just keeps leaping. And it's the best fucking thing you've ever seen.
What was she modeling? Just
no, it was just like I think the memes around it are like, I wish I had a day like Oprah.
Yeah,
because she's just so fucking like happy, and it's very funny. I've been noticing. I was filming an event the other day, and it was quite a dark venue, and I had a light on, and the photographer was. I was sort of trying to help the photographer out a bit because she didn't want to just use her flash. So I was giving her a bit of light and just seeing how people who are models do different faces.
Oh.
And like you can't see what I'm doing right now, but they're just like real. It's almost like they've got a tick and they're just sort of like moving around.
I was on a red carpet and who was it? The chick from Rogue Traders. She Australian, girl. Yeah,
I can't remember her name.
And she was – so when you – I do this too. You laugh.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a good energy to your face.
Like open mouth.
And she was but she was making the noise. So the I was fucking there capturing video.
The video is great. Fuck, that's funny, isn't it?
I had something I wanted to talk to you about, but did you have anything you wanted to chat about?
No, well, we were talking about structure and the podcast.
It's almost relating to that.
Yeah. So it was just around we had a first chat in a while yesterday where we actually sat down and said, okay, we didn't have our fucking computers and stuff like that. It's like, what do we want the podcast to be? How are we going to do it? What do you think of... I was really heavily pushing the jingle. I want a fucking jingle. And I've said, like, I've been good. I haven't been pushing a jingle, but I want one now. And so we're even talking about, let's get a Trello. Let's, because you know, I've had a few people ask, "Oh, how do you structure it all? Like, how do you come up with topics?" And what scares me is that there's no process to it at all. Mm. It's like if someone said, "How did you make that cake?" It's like, I don't know. I just fucking chucked in the ingredients. And the thing is, it's almost the equivalent of like when we have a good episode, it's like you make a chocolate cake and you make it differently every time. And this one time you make it and people say, fuck, that was so, that cake was so good. What did you do differently?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, I actually don't even know.
I mean, what I've learned from listening to you is that I now feel like chocolate cake.
It's true. Yeah. But like a mud,
I think
like
the theme of what I wanted to bring, which is almost similar to this, is collaborating.
Mm.
So it's, I heard something recently and it was from old mate Neistat.
Yeah.
And it was around the style that he collabs.
Yeah.
You used to get into me about, what did you used to get into me about saying?
Collabs. No one says collabs.
The style that he collaborates best, and it is drawing people into a project he's
managing,
visionary on.
Yeah.
And then them assisting that. And so I thought about that and I was like, you know, for my videos that I'm doing, it actually is for my channel. And I think that's the key is like, if I'm making a video for my channel, it's like the one for that you're in. That's one of the one of the great videos on my channel of you pretending to be a dad for the day to Bodhi. And it's a collaborative approach where, but you're just in it. Mm. And I'm capturing the amazingness of you and your weirdness with my son. It's great. And then I was like, you know, how do you, when you are actually needing to come together to collaborate on a thing that we're mutually a part of, 50-50, it's, you know, how do you make that work?
How do you see me as a collaborator?
Well, I thought about it after our discussion.
Yeah.
And I wrote you an email.
Yeah.
And I said, you're a fucking dog. No, I didn't. Do you read that email that I sent you?
Yeah, yeah. I've.
And so I was like, dude, the jingle.
Yeah.
Yours.
Yeah, go for it.
I've got no, I actually don't care enough.
Yeah.
I'll care if it's a piece of shit, but I'm working with you because I believe in everything you do. Yeah. Like, it's like, you do good work, so it's like, whatever.
Well, I think that was the point of the conversation too, right? Which is that it's knowing, you know, collaboration doesn't mean always having an opposing view on something. And that was, I think, like what... And I think by the end of it, we're having a great conversation because I think at the beginning, it's almost like you can get into a certain frame of mind, which is like if someone's asking for change, there's almost a default, which is like, no, but it's not needed, which is almost a minimalist approach, which is like, no, you're overcomplicating it. Anytime, it's almost a push back against complexity. Anytime there's extra complexity, no, we don't need it. And so that was, you know, I think an interesting, interesting thing which I recognized and was saying, okay, well, do you, it's almost like, do you care? And are you, do you really have a strong opinion or thought on this? Is it going to take away from anything? If not, can we?
So I think a good word that sums it all up is vision. And if the visions are opposing massively, then collaboratively, it's probably a disaster.
Yeah.
But, you know, it can be micro vision of something like a jingle at the start of it, which is like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
So you, and but you were really, you have this vision in your mind. Yeah. I don't know what's going on in your head. You can't explain it yet, but I know you'll work it out.
Yeah.
And so it is hard because I think if we set out the vision, and this is for anything, you know, I think we bore people talking about the podcast. Yeah. Because people are listening to it. Yeah, I think for anything, it's like the vision. There's always a visionary of something.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs, he seemed like a visionary of Apple and where it was going in the company. Jules Lund's a visionary for his company, Tribe.
Yeah.
You know, as much as he's got people on that own the company as well.
But I think I definitely struggle with not bringing the vision. I'm not necessarily a good operator under someone else's vision. And I wonder how that works within collaboration. So for instance, I remember probably a year and a half ago, you know, me saying to you sort of like, I only want to work on projects with you when I'm like, when you get the full stack films on and I'm sort of doing X, Y, and Z. I don't want to be doing just this one part. And I think that was the realization for me that I work best under certain sort of, you know, a method to be able to get the most out of me. And if I'm sort of, I'm not a great follower of instructions, I don't think. And I don't think that's even where my value necessarily lies. That's why if I turn down or handball a job, it's because what the client wants isn't really using my skill set.
Yeah. It's scary, the vision too.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it this week around actually just fucking deciding on what it is that you want, which is essentially deciding on the vision of your own life. And I'm struggling, I feel, at the moment, but I feel like I'm getting closer to just going, it's almost like being vocal about what that vision is, but how do you get sold on your own vision without that lizard brain being like, you know, you can't do that, this, that, and the other?
Well, I think that Simon Sinek, who does a lot of sort of thought leadership.
I thought you were going to say, who's the second most talked about other podcast on this show?
No, Simon Sinek, I don't even know who's got a podcast.
I'm thinking he probably does.
But he, he's done TED Talks and all that sort of thing, all about leadership, like all about why, asking why.
No, he was in the podcast, the live stream that Seth Godin that I tagged you the other day.
Yeah. So he's very prolific, and I was watching a thing this morning with him where he was talking about vision, and he was saying some people would say, if we're using the podcast analogy, some people would say we want to be the best podcast, one of the best podcasts in the world, or we want to be the most downloaded podcast or whatever it is. Whereas I think that we did the right thing in our approach, because our vision is around translating friendship to a larger audience, to sort of, if you are working from home or you're in your car or whatever it is, you might not necessarily have like-minded people or people that are aligned with you in your life. Mm. And that's going to fucking happen. And that happened to me when I was younger. When I was a kid and I'm 15 years old, I discovered this thing called podcasting. Mm. And I could listen to people who were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and they became my mentors. Mm. And I didn't even realize it at the time. But those viewpoints, the conversations that they were having, they were well above my fucking understanding of the world.
Mm.
But I think that there's a heap of fucking power in using technology to be able to sort of satiate that need. And so for me, that's what I hope this podcast is. Mm. And it's a big fucking vision.
It is. Yeah. It's, I almost get a bit fucking paralysis analysis thinking of a vision, right? Because then it's like there's too many good options. Life's too good. It's like you're working out your own movie and you're constantly just, oh, but I fucking love that bit and that bit.
Well, I think that we've got the vision and then we've got the more tactical bits, which is so low level. Like if you think about it, a lot of people are like trying to get quick success. They're talking about quick success.
Mm.
What I fucking love about, and what we've done it unintentionally, and I even heard another podcaster, a YouTuber, Al Mills. I was watching, she was on The Creative Exchange, which was a podcast by Sarah Dietschy, who's a YouTuber. And she was talking about when she got started and how what she realized is every single time she put up a video, she would get 10 subscribers. So she said if she makes 100 videos, she'll have 1,000 subscribers, right? And so the funny thing is, what have we been talking about in the last like few months? It's like, okay, every time that we do a podcast, we get 1.5 new listeners, right?
Mm.
So like, you know, we get 100
per app.
Yeah, per app. So we get 100 listeners per episode. And the thing is that when every single fucking week, we're seeing that go up by 10 listeners or whatever it is. So the amazing thing is that it's just a quantity game. It's just a volume game. And then if we apply our vision, if we stay true to our vision, then all it means is just making more. So if someone says, how are you guys going to get to 1,000 listeners per episode? You just say, okay, I need to do, 750 episodes?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Does that math work?
Whatever. Yeah. I get your point.
And so I think that that's super super powerful, because for me it's like that's, and I think we spoke about it with Trevor as well. It's that fucking long game. Talking about the long game, these merino socks.
How's your socks a segue for a long game?
Well, so the long game. So I'm in the process at the moment of trying to find the perfect outfit that I can wear as someone who's trying to minimize their fucking life in regards to the things that we don't necessarily need to put too much emphasis on. And so one of them is that I want to be traveling with only a few t-shirts, you know, and socks and shorts and all that sort of thing. And so I'm going through this process of trying to find the perfect ones. These are merino wool.
We went deep. We went socks.
Yeah.
And so in a fucking 0 to 100 real quick.
Well, it's because I can sort of smell them. So it's been going really well. These socks have been doing well. I've been wearing them for 5 days.
Fuck, have you washed them?
No.
What are you talking about, bro?
No, so this is what
Amy
merino...
Amy's got a few socks that she doesn't wash, and I will put a caveat around it. Amy doesn't smell at all. She's fucking...
Smells like roses.
I don't know how she does it. But, like, I'm a fucking boy that stinks if I don't shower.
Woof, woof.
Yeah, woof, definitely woof, woof.
So
but
merino...
you're gross, dude.
So merino is about... Is a type of fucking wool, and this is like a blend, which is, it's meant to be anti-odor, and it's designed so that you can wear it a lot of times in a row.
Yeah.
And you're going to be fine. So the idea with the t-shirts that I have, these merino, if I can get, say if you could get 2 weeks out of a t-shirt, right?
It's fucked. You're gross.
And then you could interchange them. So say you have two t-shirts, and so you could do one day on, one day off, so then it has time to air out.
Nah.
Do you think it's disgusting?
I think it's disgusting.
What about jeans?
I wear a new
pair
of socks every day. Admittedly, these jeans, like, I rotate, but yeah.
Do you wash them?
Yeah, but I don't think... Yes, I do wash them, 100%.
Well, they're not denim. They're not... You're not even... You know, the fucking head of Levi's, the CEO of Levi's, was on stage, this is a few years ago, said, I don't wash my jeans.
You're a grub, but you have access to a lot of pairs of jeans, I'm guessing. I bought a pair of jeans that were like, you know, that fucking like, it's almost look like...
Stretchy denim.
They've got like, it looks like they're coated. It's almost like
Lycra.
Coated. No. They're coated in fucking
sequence.
Candle wax or something. Wax. It's weird. They're like a weird
coated jean.
Why the
fuck did you buy them in the first place?
They're really cool. I'd buy them again, but they're too expensive.
Canvas.
You can't wash the things for like the first 3-4 weeks of buying them.
Yeah, because they're
so you
got to
wear them in.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they used to say put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
And
so I did. That's what they say.
It's Can gross you just, though.
No, but like I know
what do you
that
want
you're
me
gonna
to
push.
Do?
I know that you're gonna push back on this, but I've got like
don't
so,
me yourself.
Yeah. So this is keeping in mind, it's been I did 25,000 steps in them just now.
I'm just looking at the time because I might have to actually go. Right.
So,
but I actually have to go.
So this is the worst.
We're finishing this with me smelling the socks.
So
okay?
this is the worst that it's been. So keeping in mind, it's been pretty good for 5 days, and I feel like what we can even do is on Monday, I won't wash them at all, and we can smell them again to see if the odor has gone away.
Mate, we got Craig Harper on the show Monday.
Perfect.
It's fucked.
Craig's
that's
in the
fuck.
Lab. So
year,
smell it. How bad?
In our meeting the other day about the podcast, it wasn't how do we make this more like commercial radio?
This is,
do wacky stunts like smelling Josh's socks.
It does seem like that.
Just give it to me. But I'll smell it.
How bad do you think that is?
Okay, I'm just feeling it first. They're fucking solid. It's been warm in Melbourne. Like it hasn't been...
Yeah.
It's not middle of winter here.
No. So then maybe they're a bit thick.
Okay, hang on. It's very thick.
For 25,000 steps, it's not bad.
Here's the thing. They actually don't smell until you get your nose like super, super close.
Yeah.
So I think the fabric keeps the smell.
And the good
concealed.
Thing is I
fuck,
think
he just gave it a big whiff. Josh just put it to his nose and...
You're not like... I feel like I don't mind the smell of my own odour. Are you like that?
I'm the same.
Like if... my shits aren't disgusting to me. Don't you agree? Like, there's something very primal.
It's the Daily Talk Show where we go from talking about vision and getting serious and deep to me smelling Josh's socks. I hope you've enjoyed this episode.
We haven't had many emails, but do send us them to us. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. And I'm Josh Jansen, everyone.
I'm Tommy Jacket.
Have a good one.